Well, now today I'm going to preach you to your, to share with you, not going to preach, but to share with you the importance of going back to Calvary. I'm preaching to myself. I need to go back to Calvary almost daily to remind me the sufferings. I say again, the sufferings of Christ. Not the suffering of Christ. It is sufferings of Christ. The heart, the spirit, and the body suffering of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 to verse 13. Shall we stand for a reading of God's word? Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay. Peter, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Searching what of all what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before him the sufferings of Christ and that and the glory that should follow. Together, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you again for this wonderful moment, even when we open your truth. Lord God, may your Spirit work in our heart this very moment, that our mind, our mindset is in front of the throne of God. Lord God, that we can pour everything in front of you, our woes, our worries, our ambitions, and everything, Lord, in front of you. That, Lord God, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. May your words go into our heart. May your precious blood on the cross, continue to remind us the love that thou hast given to us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of your presence this very moment. Let, Lord God, that we can concentrate on your truth. May your Spirit be our teacher. May you yourself involve in our life. May you continue to speak those if among us, those who have not come to know you personally, Lord God, they may make that decision. Amen. And also, you may speak to erring children of God. Lord God, they can come back to you. they can have a closer relationship with you. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need your guidance. Jesus Christ, we need you to be involved in our life. Lord, thank you for this truth. Thank you for this time. May your name be honored even through this worship time. And we pray in the wonderful name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, be seated. Be seated. Thank you. Okay. I'm not going to go through the 13 verses. If I go through the 13 verses, 1 to 13, because every verses I take about 10 minutes. So 13 verses, it will be 1 hour, you know, it will be 2 hour and 10 minutes. So impossible. I know it's impossible. You'll be hungry and so forth. But really, hungry is not suffering. Can you all bear it? Yes or no? No, I don't. Okay, but myself, I have to take it. Whether I can bear it, I ask myself. First of all, as you read into these verses, what did you see? What did you see? Okay? And one verse that struck me and that my attention stopped so that I can concentrate on this is verse 11. Many times we think about the suffering of Jesus Christ, but we've forgotten that Jesus Christ in the first 3 and a half years ministry, did he suffer? No. Not really did he suffer. He was in command. He was in control. But until at the Garden of Gethsemane, his suffering began. His suffering really began. So why did I say that? You look at it, okay? We know that our life is full of suffering because God said you will going to go through testing in verse 7 that the trial of faith being much more precious, trial of your faith, you're going to go through trials, temptation and everything. People are going to humiliate you and do such thing to you. But really, it's trial of faith. That is when Peter was writing to the group of Christians, they were reminding you're going to be suffering. But your suffering compared to Christ, but it's just a little. Okay? And in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but unto they minister the thing which now reported unto you by the time that preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which thing the angel desired to look into. Okay? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You are going through all this. You are going through all this. Because why? Because your Lord God, Jesus Christ, show you the example. The first. Verse 11. Searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which what in time did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. When Jesus was born into this world, he enjoyed the closeness with his God Father. He walked a controlled life because the Spirit was filling him. The Spirit was leading him. And he being God himself just said, I don't want to take the Godhead position. I'd rather listen to my Father. And his Father led him throughout. The Spirit was working in him. As the last stage of his ministry on this earth, there you are, his sufferings begin. Sufferings begin. And before it happened, you look at the old time, Old Testament. Okay? That even in the Old Testament, we know that Bible is written by the inspiration of God. Definitely. The prophet wrote something in Isaiah chapter 53. And he wrote something in Psalms 22. And he tried to search, meaning they were controlled by God, and God asked them to pen it down. When they pen it down, they truly could not understand what they are writing. They are searching for the truth. Now the truth revealed. The sufferings of Christ. That's why 1 Peter 1, 11. This was my main theme for my sermon today. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Okay, 11. 1, 11. Thank God it's not 9-1-1. Okay? But I think until 11, okay, verse 11, it said the Spirit, the sufferings of Christ. And you look at the original language in Greek, the word is patimata. Okay? In Greek word, it means pains in plural sense. Never in pain in singular sense. Okay? That means it's more than one pain, more than one suffering. Christ is going to start his suffering, it's not once, but many, few times. Okay? I know many of us, when we talk about suffering of Christ, we're thinking, oh, he died on the cross, suffered, bled, and died, that's all. Truly, is that easy? Or we brush it so fast? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Have we stopped at that and listened to, ponder upon that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do what? To die for you? Yes, no problem. To suffer for you. To suffer for us. So what is our suffering compared to him? Reminder, please be reminded. He's the God of the universe. God of the all creations. Left heavenly places. Down to this earth to become a limited man. To suffer. That's the moment. I hope I can you bring back to that cross. Really, the first one is actually in the first sufferings of Jesus Christ. Truly suffering is the suffering of the heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26. So, Matthew 26:36. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know an earlier part is talked about Peter's denial for two. Again, 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and say unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Carry ye him and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. By the way, no hand touches Jesus Christ till this moment. No one ever incur pain on Christ. But this one, what pain this has? You see, when he was the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. The Lord God Father is putting the weight, the whole weight of sins of this world on him. And he's taking the weight sins of his disciple too. And to this side, his heart, he wants to train up the heart of the disciple so that the disciple can stand strong when he leaves this world. His heart is for his people. His disciple. But when he was on the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, he said, the Bible very clearly states that he is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That moment he may be dying, because his sweat was like the pores coming up from the pores, it's like blood. And that moment is anguish, dying period. Medically, if someone is going through that, he's dying soon. Something's bad. The heart was broken. Okay, earlier part, Peter's denied Jesus, he's going to deny Jesus. Christ foretold him. And in verse 34, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." But I'm going through all this, but you're going to deny me. You have been me for 2-3.5 years. You're going to deny me. Isn't it the heartbrokenness of Jesus Christ? Knowing that Peter is going to deny him. Right. Thank God, Jesus Christ willingly go through this. That's why he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Lord, you want me to die tonight? I'm willing. But maybe the plan, your plan is not being accomplished if I die in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I'm willing. I need no one to do anything on my own will. See, Jesus Christ put away his authority. Put away all his power. He said, "Lord, your will be done." How many of us in this world, how many other pastors, Christians, believers, willing, "Lord, not my power, not my will, but your will." But I thank God, God answered his prayer. He didn't have to go through the death at Gethsemane. God wants him to die on the cross. So that your sin, my sin, can be forgiven. I love the Chinese word. Without the blood, there's no salvation. The word righteousness, that little dot at the, like the dot under the lamb, is the blood of the lamb. Without the blood, there's no salvation. I thank God. Christ very clearly. But see, he need to suffer through. I mean, it was predicted he's going to be dying cross. So he have died in the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ will be very sad. But Christ said, "Not my will, your will, Lord." This is our desire, okay? So he, many a time, I believe he was in shock. Because 38 to 39, verse 38 and 39, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Who have been exceeding sorrowful other than our loved one passed away? Christ will be exceeding sorrowful if he died that moment, because he said, the world sin cannot be settled. Cannot be settled that then. He came for a purpose, to pay the ransom to his Father. And on in the Garden of Gethsemane, the ransom cannot be paid. It must be on the cross. But Christ is going through this. He put his foreknowledge, okay, omniscient away that moment. He said, Lord, your will, not my will. Humble heart. The suffering of his heart. The heart was broken. Garden. See, it's hard. So I urge you, brother and sister in Christ, when you all come to John 3:16, please do not brush it across. Please do not brush it across. Every time I read the verse, my tear come down. For God so loved the world. You have no reason for loving me. He will not get any benefit for loving me. But for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Just start to enjoy the life here, to suffer for you and for me. How many of us are willing to give away our son to suffer for another man? None of us. So when God sent Jesus Christ to die for you, you hear the Father's heart very happy. Very good. No way. God the Father's heart is broken too. But he has no choice. Brethren, can you see the love of God? Then why are we behaving as if Christ or God does not exist in our life? Second, look at Matthew 20, chapter 26, 67 to 68. Jesus Christ at this moment was brought to the Sanhedrin Council. It was at Garden Gethsemane. Straight away, someone was got him, and the soldier came and got him, and he was sent to Sanhedrin to be judged. And you see in 67, then did they speak in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? By the way, this group of people call Jesus Christ. You prophesy, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Have you been humiliated before? Christ was humiliated here. Second suffering, humiliation. First of all, the heart is humiliation. And when humiliate is your spirit, your spirit will be very sad. I thank God Jesus Christ kept his patience. That very moment, he's still the very God of creation. He can claim back the power and destroy them. He didn't. Patiently bearing for us the humiliation. His humiliation was prophesied. in Isaiah 50:60. Isaiah 56. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Christ is true. Isaiah prophesies that's what happened. So, in Old Testament, it actually recorded the suffering of Jesus Christ. Even in Micah 5:1, okay, that's my name of my co-worker, okay, Micah, okay. I thank God he liked to use this name. Okay. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He had laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Well, Jesus Christ's humiliation is already prophesied. Christ knew exactly he would go through this. And praise God, he was willingly to accept that patiently. Because in Mark 14, verse 65, and some began to speak on him to cover his face and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with palms of the hand. And you can never see any records. Jesus retaliated. He did nothing. Patiently wait upon that humiliation. Man of sorrow, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinner to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Can you sing that? Really from your heart. He was humiliated. Yet he kept quiet. First, a suffering of the heart. Second, suffering of humiliation. That's the beginning. The third suffering is truly when he was hung on the cross. Even before he was led to the cross, he was beaten to half death. You know, his skin was like kind of torn apart. Like you have your bike, go to a fish to the market to buy meat, the street, like a street meat, beef, pork, whatever you buy, okay, they cut in strip. When Jesus suffered, a slice of his flesh was torn out, half beaten to death. As you read the record throughout, Christ throughout did not yell, "Ah, painful!" And no. It's only on the cross that he said, he does. He never yell. It's so painful. God, Father, please send some angel, destroy them. No, he didn't. He patiently begged before even to the cross. John 19. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Humiliation. And yet here, he was hung on the cross. By the way, this tells you, the spike is that big and goes through. And he is already a half-dead body. Tried to bear the cross. And halfway to someone took over. And that went through excruciating pain. Have you gone through an excruciating pain before? Have you complained about excruciating pain before? Yes. When you get a needle pin on your hand. Bah! So painful! What are you doing? Right? Jesus Christ was nailed on the cross. And the leg, too, spike went through. Lying on the cross, still okay. Now it's hung on the cross. The weight is bearing down. His rib cage is going down. He's trying to breathe. When he's trying to breathe and he's trying to breathe, he's trying to pull himself down so that he can breathe. That is mightily painful. Have you all wonder, have you all consider the pain Christ has bore for us on the cross? This is suffering. It's bodily suffering, by the way. He's 100% God, yes. But when down on earth, he put the 100% God put aside. And he's 100% man. He gone through the same suffering like us. Like flesh suffering, bodily suffering. It's painful. So, when he was lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. It's willingly. Bodily pain, yes, not a problem to him. His heart was painful. His spirit was in anguish. And his bodily pain, he was willing. In conclusion, okay? You have read through all these verses. He's willing to go through the suffering for us, for you, for us. I'm asking you, Christian, how much you have suffered for him that you consider as suffering. Are you willing like him? Or have we caused someone to humiliate the name of Jesus Christ through our action, through our words? Have we? Yes. Many times, Pastor Sohis have done that. I have to cry in front of God, so God, I'm sorry. I actually allow someone to humiliate your name through my action. I'm guilty of it. So I thank God. God gave me 1 John 1:9. I need to go on my knee to come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it wrong again. I have humility. Okay. How many times I have let my God sadden in his heart for my disobedience. Unwilling to let God work in my heart. Unwilling to obey what the Bible has said. No, you can sadden him. His heart is painful. But I thank God he still call you his child. That's love. But how many of us have when bodily suffering for the Lord? Complain this, complain that, complain this. You see Christ in it. The only Christ that God, Jesus Christ, now you see, Eli Sapatani. Why? He said, God, God, why have thou forsaken me? You know that the sin of the world was on him. Your sin, my sin was on him. And he couldn't pay for it. That very moment, God have to leave him alone. Because righteous God cannot see a sin-bearing son. That very tiny moment, how it's like eternity to him. It's so painful to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was suffering. Say, Lord, you have to. But I'm willing to go through. And I praise God. God answered. God didn't leave. Only for that momentary. How momentary? Split second, nanosecond, I do not know. To God is eternity. Okay, but nanosecond. And when he was buried, 3 days later, he rose up again. For you, for me. He said, I have conquered death. It is finished. Christ died. He loves me with his heart. Even through humiliation, he kept patiently bearing for you, for me. Even hung on the cross, he didn't give up. He's going to finish his job. So, for those who have not already come to know him, you know, Christ loves us so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary's tree. From sin to set me free, someday he's coming back. Oh, what glory there will be. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your grace, thankful for your truth. I know, Lord, you have spoken to us through this simple message of your sufferings. Lord God, we cannot compare to you. Many times we fail you. Many times we, as if we are bringing you back to the cross. Father, forgive us. May you work in our heart this very moment that we can come back to your throne and put our life under your hand, on your hand. Lord God, you take charge that we're willing, Lord, to do the thing that's right. Father, we know, I know, Lord, that work in the heart, those who have not come to know you too. Pray, Lord God, that we still work in your heart. Thank you again for your message. Thank you for your presence in our life. And we pray in the wonderful name, Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, eyes closed. Do not move. I will send this matter.
Eyes closed and heads bowed. I just got 3 questions just to follow up and to make sure that, you know, we can hear a message like this and walk out, you know. Or we can here and say, Lord, is there something you have for me? Firstly, I'd like to speak with the Christian. So Brasso asks, maybe I might say, Brasso, as the mouthpiece of God, ask, have you humiliated my name through sin, through whatever there's in your life, through our words, through the way we live? And the first question is addressed to the Christian, the saint. Have you humiliated me after I've bore your humiliation? And that's the first question we have to ask ourselves. And then number two question for the Christian as well, which is a song we're going to sing, So Sent Are You. After I have borne your sin and saved you, saint, are you willing to go on my behalf? To then bear the sufferings of Christ so that someone else, or rather bear the suffering so that someone else can come to Christ. And then number three, third question, you are here today, you're not a Christian, remember Jesus bore your sin and your suffering even before you even loved him. So eyes closed, heads bowed, can I just ask, firstly, Christian, has God spoken to you about your life? Is it a life of, is it a life that caused other people to stumble? And you must say, Lord, I'm sorry for my disobedience. And say, Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to stop bringing shame to my Lord again. Is there someone like that? Just put up your hand. I know it's personal, but the first step to growth, amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Put up, put it down, and pray. Is there someone else? Yeah, very, amen, I see the hand. Honest brethren, say, Lord, I don't want your name to be humiliated anymore. Is there someone else? God must start that work in our own hearts, Christian. Is there someone else? All right, the second question. I'll be praying for you, brethren, later. But second question is, there someone who said, Lord, you have borne so much for me. I have never really stepped out of my zone of comfort and convenience to serve you when it's inconvenient. But I'm prepared to do so now in my heart. It always starts with acknowledging what Christ has done for you, you are willing to do. He says, someone said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. From now, whatever it takes to serve the Lord, no matter how convenient or inconvenient it is for me, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone to serve him. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. It all begins in the heart. Is there someone like that? Is there someone like that? Say, I will serve Christ. Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Is there someone else? Amen. I'm thankful for fathers for putting up their hands. Keep praying for one another. Is there someone else? Okay, just one more question. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Jesus suffered for you. He suffered for you even though you don't know him, and sometimes you don't even want to think about him, but he already thought about you at the cross. Is there someone who said, Pastor, the first time I really realized that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for me. I want today to accept him into my life. Is there someone like that? I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not here for your money or whatever. It's just for you to come to Christ. Is there someone like that? Brother Johnny, I've thought long and hard. I've heard the message. I'm coming to Jesus. You're not coming to the church. You're coming to Christ. The church cannot save you. Jesus can. There's someone like that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, firstly, for the brethren who have humbled themselves before you. Lord, to know that in words or things in their life, they have humiliated you. And only they know between you and them. And they have asked for prayer that they will stop doing that. Father, I pray for your forgiveness and your grace to be on your lives. Lord, you will honor a broken heart. You will honor a heart that is honest with you. I'm praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit will restore the joy of their salvation. And Lord, they will honestly stand on your side and will not allow your name to be humiliated. I pray, Father, you give them a spirit of humility before you, and that, Lord, from now on, you give them the grace and strength to stand for you through their words, their life, that it would not give any reason for people to blaspheme your blessed name. Father, I pray also for honest brethren who would want to step out in faith to serve you. I pray you grant to them, Lord, the same measure of faith and strength that our Savior had. He suffered, Lord. He suffered in his heart. He suffered the humiliation of people. And he suffered when his hands were pierced. Lord, help us to know the same way you sent Jesus is the same way he's sending us. Lord, there is no soul that will come to Christ when we are not willing, as your people, to suffer. Lord, it is not a course we want to choose, but it is a necessary part of doing your will. Father, I pray you help us to mature and grow to understand this truth in our lives. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you even as we sing the closing hymn before we vote. I pray firstly our hearts will be given to you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.